Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Solutions to delusions. How do you do this? While discerning the times and making sense of current events by listening with our eyes and watching with our ears. How do things affect our everyday life? What can you do about it? What about the world around us? How does it impact us? How do we find out and connect the dots? Well, are you ready to make sense of current events with us? To know the truth? To pierce the veil? Join my co-host, Papa Bear, along with myself, your host, Tara Dawn, as we will be bringing you the news and how it relates to the times we live in. How does it affect you, the individual, and we as a nation of diverse backgrounds? What it means for those of faith, and how we can make informed decisions concerning the times we live in, watching with our ears and listening with our eyes to bring you solutions to the many delusions that bombard us daily. So tune in every Friday night on the Delusion Solution Radio Show from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 12 midnight Eastern right here on Freedomizer Network. Call-in number is 347-324-3704 to listen in and press 1 on your dial pad if you want to participate in what is being discussed. So we are looking forward to having you with us every Friday night to discover solutions to the delusions that bombard us.
Are you sick of being a chump, lied to by politicians and businessmen alike, watching as the world slowly burns, as trillions of debts racked up under your grandchildren's names? Hi, I'm Ben Lucifer Bernanke Cochran. I'm asking that you tune into my weekly radio show, The Patriot Power Hour with Lucifer Bernanke, each Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer Radio. Look, I'm not trying to sell you anything here. I just need your help fighting these banks of scum. The sick fans, behind all the wars, failed healthcare system, I mean, they own all the mega banks, all the mega corporations. They own the media, of course. They've already conquered most of humanity, really. And their juiciest final target. Well, we're next. America's next. So I'm not going out without a fight. So join me Thursday as I use my background in finance and risk management to decode breaking news and developments, all while helping to prepare you and your family for the future waves of financial terrorism that are sure to come. Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Thank you. hello again, everyone. Welcome to BIL Radio, Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm your guest host today, Proof Negative. And I have, right off the bat here, I'm going to bring Micah B. in just a second. I just wanted to apologize that I plumb forgot that I had to set up the show. So at 10:26 Pacific, I'm rushing here to make sure that we get up by 10:30. So it sounds like we did it. And thank you so much for joining us. If you're out there in the archives enjoying your Christmas weekend, that's cool too. We're going to talk about all kinds of things related to the lifestyle. Most people think it's illegal or unhealthy or in a negative viewpoint to live in a world without your footwear on from the second you get out of your shower until right before you go night-night. And obviously, I'm here to help us unlearn what our ancestors started telling us years ago as far as old wives' tales and such. And Micah B., thank you so much for finding us today, and I'm glad that you could join us.
And thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for thanking me. So I know you've been a frequent contributor to our Barefoot is Legal group, and you've been one of the most active members that we have. You're one of our admins. And, I don't get a chance to have you on air much at this time since you're busy at work. So most people might not have heard of you.
Yeah, well, I recently haven't been able to post a lot because I've been really, really tied up with a lot of different things. But I've been trying, actually, probably before a lot of people have, probably since 2002, and trying to, make progress in the businesses in my area. And pretty much my area, knows me already, so I don't have a lot of problems. The problems I do run into, I've taken care of with a doctor's note and liability waivers and such, and it's kind of really, I really have 99% success rate at this point here.
All right. So how long ago did you get started in the barefoot movement?
It was 2002.
Okay. And what made you get started?
Because my knee was messed up and a doctor needed surgery. Actually, my knee was messed up in 97. And I slowly, from 97 to about 2000, I started not wearing shoes because a natural doctor back then told me not to, which would fix my knee. And it did. But then when 2002 hit, between 97 and 2002, it was pretty much hit or miss. For me, I would go with my mom places at that time, and if somebody said you need to leave, and we would leave. And when 2002 hit, I had found the original SBL list and found that there was actually other people actually doing it, because I had thought I was probably one of the only ones. And once they hit, I decided, hey, a few other people are doing it, I'm going to kind of fight the businesses and tell them, hey, I have a reason I'm doing it, and there's other people doing it. And that's how it started for me, and it just built from there.
All right. And so obviously you found the Facebook group years ago for the other group that I try my best not to mention here anymore because of what happened a few months ago. But so you joined that group, then obviously Barefoot is Legal came along, and then you're helping us grow that. And you've done a couple of meetups there locally, and it sounds like since the last meetup, we've gone crazy with adding people in from SoCal. So I'm looking forward to seeing how big we can grow this.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And the last two meetups were pretty successful. And although I'm not sure if there's a way to find out exactly where everybody is from, it's pretty hard. I'm not sure how that works. But hopefully the next one, we can pull a whole bunch of more people in and get something together pretty soon.
Yeah, I wish there was a better way Spybook let us do our thing. It's funny that they can have all the information about us, but we can't find out anything about any of our other fellow members. We have to literally click on them one at a time and see if they mention where they're from.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it from what I've found. I've tried to find ways to search. I mean, like, I think searching in groups is actually a fairly new option that Facebook added, which was probably something that should have been there a long time ago. So I'm hoping that eventually at some point they'll add something where you can try to figure out who's near, like who's closest to you and stuff like that. I'm hoping that that's something coming up in the future.
Yeah, it looks like we've been really growing SoCal, not just San Diego, but Orange County. I know there's been a couple of people in California that asked if they could do a local Barefoot is Legal chapter, and I'm looking forward in this upcoming year to seeing how many different cities we can have local chapters in.
Yeah, and definitely I'm up for doing a local chapter down here in San Diego, even if it ends up being like a regional chapter, you know, for San Diego, Orange County, Riverside County, somewhere, you know, this area that can work.
Yeah, it's not to say we can't just have Southern California, Barefoot is Legal, and yeah, it's based out of San Diego, I guess, the local chapter, but then if somebody wants to add another one later, then hey, by all means, but it would be nice to include everybody from within a 90-minute drive, I guess.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you need to start somewhere, so like to start out with one, and then maybe, you know, more will follow after that, but we have to at least have, you know, start somewhere with one. So,
right, and the reason why I said that I wanted at least five members, I just don't think that you can start a local chapter with just one person who may or may not be doing anything to promote the movement. So
yes,
if
exactly.
we have at least a team, it looks like we're doing something. And if it's, hey, it's just me, I'm in Salina, Kansas, and I'm starting a local chapter here, but I don't talk to anybody, so we're not going to do very well. Yeah, why even bother? But if there's multiple people who are willing to be down for the cause and doing some projects here and there, I think that that would be the best place to start.
Yeah, and exactly. And with the chapters, the people that are in them have to kind of be willing to do something like flyers or, you know, some kind of activity to kind of like promote flyers or even online. You know, I've been doing Twitter a lot. I got a few followers, and you know, just small stuff like that to promote, and hopefully like try to bring in more members into the chapter, into the group, in you know, as a whole.
Well, I agree. Sorry, someone's asking if they can call in later on. So I'm just trying to send them a quick message here. It makes for bad radio.
Oh, well, it happens. While you're doing that, I might touch on a little subject that was in the group. What was that?
No, go ahead. Don't let me slow you down.
Oh. I just wanted to touch on a little subject that was in the group this week that I've had a lot of experience in, and that was OSHA, OSHA rules. Like, people think that OSHA requires employees to wear shoes, and I spoke to OSHA directly. This is the San Diego branch of OSHA, but they told me that they do not require employees to wear shoes unless it's a dangerous situation that would cause major injury or death. And so they gave me examples, like, you know, I work in the restaurant industry, and they said if I was working by a fryer with hot grease, or if I was working in front of a heavy mixer with heavy parts on it, then they would maybe have an issue with it. But if they came into a place and found like an employee working without shoes and there was like glass or whatever, they don't care about that. They care about major injuries. So the example he gave to me is like the only, like if I was working, for instance, in my restaurant and they found a live wire, like a frayed electrical wire, then they might cite the business because that's a hazard, you know, to somebody's life. But then he also said it would be hazard to all other people too. So that's the mentality that OSHA has. OSHA does not require employees to wear shoes, and neither does the health department. So that was actually something new to me because this was like about, I'm going to say a year ago. I always thought it was simply fine for customers, but I always thought employees were regulated. And after finding that out, that's just another one of those myths.
Right, and that one I can understand the myth getting out because it's we don't know where safety lies as just regular common folk, and we don't know what's regulated and what's not. And obviously, there's a lot of heavy reading to do. But I did own a small chain of comedy clubs in the late 90s and early 2000s, and I asked the same question, and I was given the same answer, where as long as the person wasn't working, like if you worked the fryer, the deep fryer, or you were handling very sharp knives or anything that can create a serious hazard, then you had to wear something, and the something was not even specified. It just said you have to wear something. But for those who's ever working in a smoothie shop or a Starbucks or even like a Papa Murphy's pizza where you you make the pizzas and the customer just buys them and cooks them elsewhere, there's no regulation on that, period. It just says clean clothes.
Yeah, exactly. There is nothing, and that's actually kind of interesting to learn, you know, over this whole time. So, yeah, and in my position is the front of the house, which is serving, so there's nothing there as well, except for the fact, of course, that most people that own a place are worried about the image of the business. So that's the problem I run into at my place.
Yeah, so I guess at some point you'll have to open your own restaurant.
Oh, yeah, definitely. At some point that might actually happen. Or I actually have a friend out in Jersey that wants to come out in California and maybe buy my place and turn it into a bar. And he has no problem with that with me as well. So I don't know.
Right.
We'll see what happens in the future. You know, I know I've been to San Clemente, California, and I went to an Italian restaurant. It was like one of the fine kind with, you know, like these fake grape vines up the wall and the bottles hanging from the ceiling. And the servers, like my server was a guy in like jeans and a T-shirt with a Hawaiian design and flip-flops. So and that place was crowded. So I don't really know if the people's fears of image actually really affect a lot of people. I think a lot of people just ignore it. And, of course, there's a few vocal few that are loud. So, you know, the complainers, you know, you'll get a couple complainers and then businesses think, well, it's everybody's opinion.
Right. But at the same time, you have plenty of do-gooders out there that feel the need to complain because they see one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've had, it's funny, when I ran my comedy club and I'm sitting there in the business, people obviously know I'm the owner. I'm up on stage. I'm walking around, I'm being active, and someone will come up to me and they'll, I've had like six or seven people in the 2 years I own my clubs that came up to me and complained that the person, the lady next to them took their high heels off or whatever. And then they would see me and they would want their money back because they got offended and they were wearing flip-flops. I wouldn't say all of them, but a few of them did, and I asked them why or what's the big difference. So you don't get it. And then they would yell at me and curse me out and demand that they get a refund because they happen to see one person with their shoes off and me that didn't have a pair to begin with.
Yeah, and see, some people, I just don't understand the mentality of people. Like, my philosophy is, like when I'm in a place, I just ignore what everybody else is doing. They're doing their own thing. If I'm sitting at my table, that's my table, that's my space, and then everybody else has their own space, and just, like, ignore them. Or same as if you're in a store or something, you're not that person's parents. Like, just keep to yourself, do your own thing, and let everybody else do their own thing unless they're doing something to hurt you. And that's my mentality, and I seriously don't think there's a lot of people out there like that, just a very few that are loud. My experience, I have an experience, and that is I work as a side job. I host karaoke, and I was hired by a place out in Oceanside, California, it was an actual karaoke lounge that had the equipment set up 24/7 because they just ran it every day. And I worked there once a week, and when I first went there, the owner's like, well, I'm afraid that the people are going to complain about you. And I'm like, well, let me do it, and then if they complain, then you can always, like, boot me out and get somebody out. So I did it, and my job was to host karaoke as well as clear tables and take it back into the kitchen for the dishwasher, you know, basically just drink cups. And so after a month, I asked the owner, so have you got any complaints? He's like, no, I have actually a couple people asked about you, and I explained to you, and then they said that they thought it was cool that I was allowing you to work there. And you know, so it's not the mentality of everyone. It's just the mentality of a few people that I don't know are just gossipers. I don't I have no idea where that mentality comes from.
Yeah, so more people are actually proud of the fact that they could be at ease and not worry about petty dress code stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't. By the way, have you been in the restaurant business since you were able to work, or have you done other types of work?
No, I've done other types of work, but it was restaurant business. I was already in the restaurant business. I've been in this business for 14 years in this particular restaurant. But I've been in other jobs, but when I was in those jobs, it was before I started the lifestyle. So, I mean, I've done side jobs. This is kind of ironic, but, 2 years ago, for a year, I worked in a glass and screen company. They cut glass to shape certain shapes, and then they cut screen, and so there was always pieces of glass and shreddings of like the metal screens on the floor when I went in there, and I worked the office for them. And I remember when I went into that job, it was co-owned by my friend who did karaoke, and she asked me to work there. And then the owner was like an older guy, probably in his 70s. And he's like, you can't work here, you're going to get cut. And then I kind of like found some glass on the floor and stepped on it, like grounded into the ground. And I showed him, like, I can handle glass. I'm like, it's just like stones to me. And then he's like, okay. And so I worked there for a year before they actually went under, because business just dropped off from nobody needing windows. So,
Yeah, I've just noticed throughout years of doing various call center work that, to me, it's just always been crazy how some of these offices, call centers, whatever, where customers don't even come in the building, and that doesn't have to mean much. I'm just saying that there's no image to uphold, but they treat the shoe dress code like it's the most important part of your job. And not just about having them on, but certain ones. Like, one will ban open-toed shoes but allow backless. The other, the next job over will allow open-toed shoes, but they will not allow the backless ones. And a third place will allow you to have one side open or the other, but not both at the same time. And everybody has their own little stupid idiosyncrasies with rules. And they all try to say it's either the health department or the insurance company that's forcing them. And you never see a health inspector go into a telemarketing agency. They're not worried about what food the employees bring in to eat on their lunch.
Definitely not. That's where it becomes ridiculous, and I think it's more due to the mythical versus the fact. And I think if you educated them, maybe they would understand. But in the bottom line, I think it's more that's what they want for their company rules, and they use like a smokescreen of reasons why they're doing it, but in reality it's not any of those reasons. It's actually their personal rules that they want to hold. And like you say, in call center and places, offices, places where customers don't come in, I think it's ridiculous, because, I mean, what's the harm that's going to be done? If you don't have clients coming in, there's no reason why you have to have an image concern. And so I could never understand that part. Because I've applied for side jobs. I applied for solar, like calling people to sell solar systems. And that was just in an office. And they said you need to have shoes and a whole dress code. So I couldn't understand that myself.
Right. Like having closed shoes on is going to help you sell more solar to customers.
Probably not. Maybe they'd actually be selling more systems if they didn't. They might be a little bit more relaxed.
See, I never think about it as being relaxed or not. I just think, well, how hungry am I? I'm feeling pretty hungry today, so I better get on the phones and try and make some sales.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with what I'm wearing. I could be hungry and sit in my pajamas.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because I'm wearing a three-piece suit doesn't mean I'm hungry.
Yeah. That's exactly... I'm saying comfortable as in, like, sometimes people are if they're dressed up all, you got to wear a suit and tie and everything, your attitude can change. From if you're more comfortable and in a more like comfortable setting, then you get more, your attitude can get more positive, and that's what how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and I feel the other way around, actually, personally speaking. I'm one of the rare people, I guess, where if I see someone wearing a suit and tie and stuff, to me that's just a false front. And if it is real, it means that they want my money. It doesn't mean that they want to talk to me as a person. I look at more regular people dress and being one of the people as opposed to being one that's over the people.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at dressing up in a suit as kind of like dressing up in a costume. So, you're dressing up to be to show authority.
Right, like if you're going out and selling cars, say you're at the local Mitsubishi dealership and it's 112 out in Las Vegas on June 30th. I'm not impressed with somebody because they can wear a sport jacket and slacks outside standing in the sun. That's not impressive to me. I'm not going to buy a car from somebody just because they dress nice. But some people are like that, I guess. And personally, if someone wants to not listen to my radio show because of the fact that I chose not to wear shoes that particular day, then I don't have much to say. The whatever I'm wearing doesn't make my voice any better or worse. It doesn't change my topics, what I'm going to talk about today, so I don't know what the issue is.
And there's no issue, and I think almost the issue is blown out of proportion by businesses, you know, because I haven't seen much. I've gone to stores a lot, and the amount of times I get asked why you don't have shoes is, like, in a year is probably, like, less than I can count on my hands. And, like, so there's just some people out there that are very nosy, and for the majority of people, they don't care. Or, you know, I've come up with, you know, some people have come up to me and be like, no, shoes, cool, I wish I could do it. I'm like, you should. And they're like, maybe I'll try doing that. You know, they have that kind of attitude. And it's just a very few people that have it. And the problem is these businesses are scared of those few people because then they think it reflects on the whole, you know, all society in general, and it's not. It's just a few. And, you know, and I've had that experience with multiple
people
jobs.
Honestly will think, well, if I allow you in here to come in, then that means that if somebody decides to smoke crack in my store, I have to let them in too.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes no sense at all.
It doesn't make no sense. I mean, even grouping the no shirt and no shoes together doesn't make any sense. Because, I mean, to me it's like a major difference of not wearing a shirt, not wearing shoes. When you're not wearing shoes, I mean, people already wear flip-flops. That's pretty much the same thing. When you're not wearing a shirt, then you're half naked and, like, females can't do it. It's a different situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... Oops, looks like I'm getting buzz here.
You going to work today?
Yeah, I got to work, but it looks like they're buzzing me in. So I don't know if you can hear it on the other end, but that, they're trying to call me. So.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, so that's how I see it. I think it's just something that's blown out of proportion by businesses, the mentality of that. Our customers are going to freak out if we have somebody in here without shoes, but what they don't know is, like, maybe one or two out of, like, a few hundred will, and the rest will just ignore it.
Right. So for me, I view this as lack of education on the average person because they don't know, and they don't know that we're organized. But the fact is that the more people that find out we're organized and we're normal, then more people will eventually try it every so often. And one of my things I've been trying to share with our fellow members that as far as recruiting goes is that we have basically three groups of people. We have one that will never talk to a soul about it because they're scared or they don't believe it themselves or who knows why. Then you have the ones that, how do I word this here? You have the ones that do go out in public, but they don't like to talk to people either. And you have the third group, which is people that are interested in the activism side, but haven't really figured out the secret formula that brings people to our group and people become like a one-topic pony, where my goal is to share with everybody about being diverse as far as topics go. And whatever you're involved in, just try to be involved in multiple things and have it all tie in together so people can view what you're viewing and not just one particular topic. That's my big thing, I guess.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so people that might like Scrabble, so you join a Scrabble group. Maybe you like beekeeping or something. Who knows? So you join a beekeeping group. You you might be involved in truth news like I'm in. Then you just join the group and you post several different articles about what all your likes are, and eventually it just comes to be like this is your life and this is what people are seeing. If it's just 10 out of 10 topics you're posting, you don't want to be known as that creepy guy that likes to talk about not wearing shoes, and that's all you talk about. You want to talk about multiple topics at once, and by the way, that's just part of it. It's just not what you're known for, which is kind of why I've been so successful with bringing our group together.
Yeah, it is that can work. It is, like, it does make sense. You just have to be, it has to be a group you're in. I remember I was in a music group, and I tried to post the article on there for, you know, it's healthier to be without shoes. And then I couldn't believe it, but a local music promoter who knows me, who knows what I do, wrote in and is like, well, on stage there's glass and there's spit and there's blood and blah, 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 like start, like, knocking me for it. I said in my head, I can't believe you are actually posting this in here, but I answered him. I'm like, you know, the glass is no problem to me. It's like stones to me, and I'm like, the spit and the blood will wash off. So, and I actually got a few people that liked my my post and then liked my reply. So, and he actually liked my reply too, but didn't answer after that. So I just kind of find it funny that people.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody yells at Kelly Clarkson or Joss Stone or Michael Franti or some of the other ones that go on a regular basis. They're not going to say, hey, I was going to pay you $25,000 for your show tonight, but you, and I know you go without shoes on every other stage, but you showed up today without shoes on, so we're going to cancel this concert and give out refunds.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen, but it's because of their, when you become a celebrity, you almost become a god, so whatever you do is kind of worship.
So you have any gigs coming up as far as karaoke goes, or
karaoke,
even singing?
No, karaoke. I've been too busy to do a karaoke gig because that's an ongoing weekly thing, so I kind of cut that off. But as far as concerts, I just did last month, a Broadway and a movie soundtrack concert at the local library.
Okay.
And so I don't have any planned right now. Basically, the way I do my concerts is people come and ask me to do them, because if I ask somebody to do them, then I have to go by their time, and, you know, I have to arrange what time, like, they want me to do it. But if somebody comes and asks me to do it, then I can say, well, okay, well, I'll do it, but I got to do it on this day at this time. And so that's kind of like how I've been able to get through all my gigs in between my busy life.
All right, and speaking of life, what time do you have to be at work? I don't want to hold you.
I just looked, and actually they're calling me in now, so I was just about to say that I have to kind of cut out and see what the heck's going on down there, because I wasn't supposed to be in until 11:30 today, but apparently they're having a 911 emergency, like always. So.
Okay.
All
right, so obviously if you're in the SoCal area, just get a hold of Micah B on our Facebook page, Barefoot is Legal, and this is something that he's going to help set up in January, so we'll have the first local chapter started. And Micah, thank you so much for being here for us today.
Oh, thank you, no problem. I'll look forward to doing it some other time.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Micah B is going to head off to work. And you are definitely welcome to join his restaurant at some time, Portino's out in Valley Center, which is north of San Diego. And let me grab a timeout here. We haven't taken any commercial breaks since we've been on. So let me go ahead and handle business. And we'll get back into it right after the break. Be right back.
Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price, special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper, CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where Freedomizers freedomize freedom.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you dedicated to ending the new world order? Well, it's time to make way for spontaneous order. Hi, I'm Eric Bell, host of Freedomizer Radio's new hit show, For Whom the Bell Tolls, where you will hear current events from a volunteer's perspective, philosophical libertarianism, and a roadmap to a free and stateless society. Tune in every Tuesday at 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific and 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
Are you sick of being a chump, lied to by politicians and businessmen alike, watching as the world slowly burns, as trillions of debts racked up under your grandchildren's names? Hi, I'm Ben Lucifer Bernanke Cochran. I'm asking that you tune into my weekly radio show, The Patriot Power Hour with Lucifer Bernanke, each Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer Radio. Look, I'm not trying to sell you anything here. I just need your help fighting these banks or scum. The sick fans, behind all the wars, failed healthcare system, I mean, they own all the mega banks, all the mega corporations. They own the media, of course. They've already conquered most of humanity, really. And the juiciest final target. Well, we're next. America's next. So I'm not going out without a fight. So join me Thursday as I use my background in finance and risk management to decode breaking news and developments, all while helping to prepare you and your family for the future waves of financial terrorism that are sure to come. Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back, kind of, here. I wanted to handle a couple of things real quick here. I'm just going to play a quick song while there's nobody in the queue, and, well, I just wanted a few minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and play a song off one of my albums real quick here, and we'll come back and hit it hard for the rest of the show here. See, what do I want to listen to? We'll play something brand new that I made recently here, Bluebirds in the Water. All right, good. We are back. We have maybe about 40 minutes or so. If anyone wants to be a part of the show tonight, or today, it's not night yet unless you're over in England or something. Anyway, if you want to be a part of the show, the number is 347-324-3704. And I had a couple of articles up here. I don't know where they ran off to here. There they go. All right. And I didn't finish the commercial yet, but I wanted to give one of our fellow Barefoot as Legal members a plug. Rob Keaton, who owns Keaton Custom Leather, has a website I want to promote. KeatonCustomLeather.com. He specializes in handcrafted holsters, custom leather goods, and repairs. So for those of you out there, since Freedomizer Radio, we do talk a lot about our Second Amendments, that's for sure. And so if you want to support a fellow BILer, he makes all kinds of gun cases and anything to do with leather, whether it's holsters and other accessories. Maybe you have a last-minute post-Christmas present that you have to pick up. There's a bunch of stuff for all the gun nuts out there, I guess. So KeatonCustomLeather.com. If you want to purchase a holster or an ammunition carrier or a belt or anything else in relation to leather, that's where to go. All right, I just wanted to give him a quick plug here. I did want to get into a couple of articles out here. And, all right, well, I'm not really going to get into that, I guess. I was trying to find a couple of different news articles. And I don't really want to get into anything that Perez Hilton has. There are a few websites out there that... I remember one of those tabloid papers had, like, the celebrity who we spotted barefoot this week. And it was like every week they would have somebody that they saw. And I just found that to be pretty silly because who honestly cares in their right mind about what somebody's wearing or not wearing? And in essence, that's what it gets down to for us, is that why are so many people worried about what other people are wearing? Yeah, personally, I don't spend my life worrying about what somebody's wearing, and not everybody has to be to my specification or your specification or whatever. It's just we're people, and nobody's paying my bills. I'm not paying anybody else's. So I just don't see what the big to-do is, but there are people out there that think it's the most important thing in the world to look a certain way, and that's not how I personally do business. So anyway, I did want to share, because while doing a table at a health fair or wherever, I do get the occasional people that sometimes they will tell me how unhealthy it is to not wear shoes, and they'll tell me about the splinters or whatever else you might step in. And I like to side with people like Dr. Mercola, who put out documentaries about the importance of of living a more barefoot lifestyle for health. And sun gazing is very, very big now, where you go out to your local park and you just go for a walk, you stand in the sun, you leave your shoes at home, and you're collecting all the benefits of being outside in the sun, whether it's vitamin D, whether it's other issues. I've read that it's linked to getting rid of depression, which I will agree that one of the best things to do to get rid of tension or to feel better is to make sure that your shoes are not on you. And that might sound silly to some, but being less stuffy will help you think clearer. It will help you get rid of a few health ailments. And there's various studies that I wanted to make sure that we had time for today. Let me there it is. Just had to find my articles here. I just also wanted to make sure I wasn't ignoring anybody here. But this article came out on Newsmax on, let's see here, November 23rd. And it shares that walking barefoot helps prevent foot injuries. And walking barefoot helps to improve balance, posture, and prevent common foot injuries, according to an American researcher. Patrick McKeon, a professor at Ithaca College's School of Health Science and Human Performance in New York, says that the more people who go barefoot in the office or outside, the healthier you will be. He believes that the small, often overlooked muscles in the foot play a vital but underestimated role in movement and stability, similar to the core muscles in the abdomen. The researcher explained their performance by describing the cycle of feedback between the large extrinsic muscles in the legs and feet and the smaller intrinsic muscles in the feet and the neutral connections that send information to the brain. When the cycle is broken, it can lead to overuse injuries that most athletes are familiar with. And shoes have a negative effect on this cycle. When you put a big sole underneath, you put a big dampening effect on that information. So there's a missing link that connects the body with this, with the environment. And without the information provided by the small muscles in the foot, the larger muscles overcompensate and overexert beyond the point of their natural ability to maintain and repair themselves. And when these muscles are no longer able to absorb the forces of activity, the forces are transferred to the tendons, bones, and ligaments, resulting in injury risks, which is something that I want to discuss further, not today necessarily, but I want to get with various jobs like I was talking about with Micah earlier, where these jobs focus on really petty dress code stuff, and if everybody was allowed to have grounding mats at their desk and it wasn't a big deal to wear as little as possible, or maybe even nothing, as far as shoes go, that you would have healthier and happier employees instead of having jobs that mandate that even though there's no customers coming into the building, you're still required to wear high heels and stockings or whatever, which makes no sense. Nobody's coming to see you. And it's healthier to not wear anything, so they're going to make you wear stuff that you're going to be totally miserable in, and if you remove the offending item, then you get to go home and spend the rest of the day without any pay. Yeah, and jobs do take this so seriously. It's like going to a restaurant and trying to eat, and they make you wear your mittens because you could cut yourself with a steak knife. I have a friend that works at a Skank of America. And it's not the corporate dress code, but it's her location's dress code that if you have closed shoes on, then that's cool. That's what they want you to have. And you don't have to wear nylons or whatever. But if you have any shoe that has any kind of opening, whether it's in the back or in the front, then you're required to wear pantyhose with them. And they tried to say that it was the health company or the it was both a health code, and they said their insurance company was against it. I've never heard of such a thing. What are you going to do, drop a $5 bill on your foot, and you're going to complain, and you're going to get workman's comp because you dropped a fiver on your foot? I very seriously doubt there's going to be any insurance claim based on that. But with all the Obamacare and the health care costs going up because of Obamacare, is it still going to be as important to the point where if you're not making enough money, are you willing to close down in exchange of not giving your employees any freedom? And it might sound silly now, but when Obamacare rates go through the roof and you might be able to do something that would negate some of those raises, and not only that, if you had to go a year or two without giving an employee a raise, as long as you can provide a healthy and fun environment to work in, people are going to be understanding. But you throw in no raise for 2 or 3 years, and then you have strict dress code rules that nobody is interested in. And a lot of them are so vague that you could wear something and 4 managers say no and 3 say that it's okay. It just depends on what manager you get. And they treat this like it's the most important part of the job. And if you say you're doing data entry, you could type 65 words a minute. Why is what you're wearing underneath your desk more important than if you're making errors on people's accounts or they're not documenting their phone call that they just handled properly? Why is it that if they're an internet web designer, that the fact that they came in without a back on their shoe more important than did somebody's website get put up today, or are there any typing errors, or did the shopping cart get put up today like they've been asking for 3 weeks? But I don't know what it is about the shoe that makes it so important for some. But that's life in a big city, I guess. And, well, it gives us something to do, I suppose. And by the way, if there is anybody that's listening for the first time and they just accidentally found out about our lifestyle, the website is barefootislegal.org. There's also a Facebook group. You look up Barefoot is Legal and you'll find our Facebook group of right around just under 1,000 members at this time. Hopefully by next week we'll be over that 1,000 member threshold. we just started small, but that's okay. For those that have been here a while, you know the reasons behind us getting behind the BIL. Others, it's okay. They have found a good home with us, and I'm happy to have the seasoned veterans as much as I do having the brand new people that are interested for the first time who recently heard about us. So trying to cater to both. Of course, that's barefootislegal.org. And the Facebook group, if you're on Facebook, is also called Barefoot is Legal if you look under groups. And I applied for a SU page, tsu.co. My name on there is Proof, so tsu.co/proof. I applied for a Barefoot is Legal group. We did have a Barefoot is Legal page, but I lost the password, and I can't get in. I tried to get the password to come back. I think I tried 7 or 8 times, and it just didn't work out. Yeah, when I request the password, it said they sent it to me, and I could sit there for every hour for 24 hours and check my email, and it's not coming. And I write to customer support. There's nothing. They tell me to just follow the instructions. And that's why we don't have a SU page anymore. But I applied for a group back in August or September when they said that they were going to start opening various groups. And it says it's pending still, and it's been, 4 or 5 months. I don't know why the slow on that, but hopefully that gets accomplished. All right, another article, I guess we have time here. Minister Emanuel is going to come up at the top of the hour, and it is a Sabbath day, so I'm looking forward to celebrating our Sabbath. So we loosely discussed here a few minutes back about the Ithaca College. And let me get in for closer inspection here. I don't have my glasses on. One of the strangest stories, and I'll just share here before getting into the article here at hand. I was putting my watch on 2 weeks ago. And I dropped some papers, and my glasses went along with it somewhere. And I've been trying to find my regular glasses for 2 weeks now. And I have had zero luck whatsoever trying to locate my glasses. I've cleaned up this room in its entirety. I've gone through the desk. I don't know why my glasses just vanished, like Scotty beamed them up or something, but I had to go to a backup pair, and the backup pair is way stronger than what I need. My vision has improved. And that's one of the stories. I don't have it up right now, but I did read an article, and I think one of the BIL hosts normally read the article about how grounding can improve your vision as well. And my vision went from -425 to -250, and my glasses were a little too strong as it was. I probably could have gone down to a 200, which was what I was hoping for. My glasses are gone, and so I have this pair that's -325, and I can't see with them, and I can't drive without them. I I could see objects, obviously, but I can't read. I can't read the signs. And so I try to wear glasses, but I either feel like my eyes hurt when I put my glasses on, or I just can't see without them. And I just wrestle all day now until I can either find my glasses, or maybe I'll stop in Walgreens. It's cold and windy here in Las Vegas for some reason. I guess that's normal for this time of year. But, yeah, I'll have to make a barefoot run into a Walgreens and just try to find some reading glasses. But there are videos out there that do share some of what I've been doing as far as grounding for eye health. So you can combine eye exercises along with grounding. And it's not something that you're going to do twice and your vision is healed, but it is a process. And eventually, if you do the eye health exercises, and they say to leave your glasses off as often as possible. If you need them, you need them, but it's not worth it to just keep them on all day. And so you eventually want your eyes to just get used to the fact that you're not relying on your glasses, because what happens is that your eye muscles get lazy, and it's just like every other part of the body. So there's certain tricks and tips that you can get on YouTube, and a few of the videos that do the eye health, they talk about grounding. And I've done it for several years off and on. They say you can actually get your vision back to 20/20. I have not been so lucky. And I'm not saying you can or can't. If you do it, then you get lucky enough, all the more power to you. I know that it's helped me. And hey, even if you correct your vision a little bit by doing the exercises and getting the grounding in, then the average eye doctor will tell you that's physically impossible to correct your vision, but those are the same doctors that tell you that closed-toed shoes, you need sneakers, you need compression socks, you need arch supports, all so that they can get repeat business. And they'll tell you once you have an ailment that you're never going to be able to fix it. And eyesight is one of those things that they will tell you that once it's gone, it's gone. But if you want to go out there and try some sun gazing and you want to see what you can do, you can't go wrong with grounding anyway. It's the best vitamin D you can get, and it is free. You get it from the sun, and I'm not a big fan myself of getting vitamin D tablets. If you find a reputable source, go ahead and do your thing. But I'm not going to go to Kmart or China Mart, whatever, Kroger, and just get whatever vitamin D pills that they have on the shelf. First of all, 90% of all vitamins worldwide come from China. And for all you know, you might be getting a placebo. So I'm not going to spend $23 on some placebo coming over from China when I can get this for free. And all I have to do is drive down to my local park and make sure I get in the sun for 30 minutes a day. But there are people out there that strongly believe in what their parents taught them, that I just stepped out of the shower and before I even get dressed, I have to make sure my shoes are on. To me, it's not very impressive where you have men walking around their house with their boxers, and they have their socks pulled up to their knees, and those Adidas soccer sandals or whatever, no shirt, and the shorts are the John Stockton variety. So it's like, what's the purpose? I'm not against being nude at home. I mean, you go do your thing, but there are people that will walk around the house without anything covering their butts or their chest, but they'll walk around with their socks pulled up to their knees and sneakers, which I don't understand the point. And I know there's parents that yell at their kids. It's 7:06 in the morning on a Saturday, and they just got out of the bath. Why don't they have their shoes on? But that's what we have to unlearn. Because remember, our parents didn't really have, and I'm speaking as a 43-year-old, so my parents, and obviously I'm old enough to have kids in the internet age now. It's not me that told people there or my kids about that, but my generation was the first one to grow up with having the internet in college. And as information became available, that we got to learn at a better pace than people before us. It's like any question in the world, you can just do a simple internet search, which includes, I still get people on a regular basis that tell me, like they are the law in this, that they are absolutely positive that there's laws about driving a car without shoes on, and in exactly zero states there is such a law. There's in Alabama you can't ride a motorcycle, but a car, nobody cares. Nobody's going to inspect you. They just want to make sure that, is your car safe? Can you use your turn signals, and can you keep yourself at a reasonable speed as required by the signs you're currently passing? They're not worried about a fellow driver seeing your toes, or they're not worried that you might have glass in your car. Zero states care about that such stuff. The health department is not going to randomly inspect your car because you have food in the trunk. I've heard that in a library once, where someone said the health department will be in to inspect, and if they caught somebody without shoes on, that the library would get shut down. And as a Barefoot is Legal representative, I had to question further, and they told me that they have a soda machine and a candy machine in their break room, and that counts as food being sold. I promise you that zeros of health inspectors are going around to look at libraries' soda vending machine. And they're not going to inspect the entire property because you happen to sell Sprites and Fantas out of a vending machine. Not only are you not physically making the soda right there, but once it's in a can and it's pre-bought at a store or a factory, you're not physically putting the stuff in the can. The health department no longer cares. They just want to make sure the food service temperatures are where they're supposed to be. And are you providing a clean storage area for your food preps? They're not worried about what's going on if somebody's what somebody's wearing while they're standing, waiting to be sat down. The health department doesn't care. And they certainly don't care about the library break room. Or your telemarketing place. They sell soda machines and potato chips. The health department doesn't care. You're not doing anything with those chips. You're not adding them to a sandwich and reselling to customers. Once it's for consumer use, that's it. There's no search. The health department does not randomly go to people's houses to make sure that your Del Monte green beans are doing okay in your pantry. The health department doesn't care. All right, I'm going to have to make way here in just a few short minutes. I thought I'd have time for a couple more articles, but whether I'm ready to leave or not, Minister Emanuel is supposed to be up here in the next few minutes. And even so, I buy airtime in 3-hour blocks. And whether I'm ready or not, the next show starts its time with or without me. All right, well, let me get out of here. I will be back Monday. I'm on Monday through Thursday, normally 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. I am not here Thursday. Tara Dawn's going to cover my show, so I'll be on Monday. So in the meantime, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember, only you can prevent power stroke. I am negative.